Our next presenter will be Dr. Gail Bellamy. She's with the Department of Family Medicine and Rural Health at the Florida State University College of Medicine in Tallahassee, Florida. And Dr. Bellamy is also the director of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida Center for Rural Research and Policy, and is a professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Rural Health at Florida State University. She's a past president of the National Rural Health Association and has served on the board, the Board of State Rural Health Associations for Texas, West Virginia, and Florida. She's participated in the development of Rural Healthy People 2020. Dr. Bellamy has received her doctorate from the Bloomberg School of Hygiene and Public Health, the Johns Hopkins School of Hygiene and Public Health, as it was formerly known. Dr. Bellamy.
Thank you, Catherine. Okay, first, in the interest of new branding, my center is now Florida Blue Center for Rural Health Research and Policy. We're all getting used to new brands. I don't know if anybody else would have noticed. I know I did. I was really interested by Jane's slide of the nation looking at the numbers of dentists. And I don't know if anyone else noticed, but Florida looked like it had the highest need for dentists in the nation at over 700. That's scary, but we'll talk about dentistry another time, maybe not today. Let me go on. We're going to go quickly once I can get things going. Okay, I have no financial interests in this, and our work so far has been funded by each of our institutions, meaning there's no federal money in here at all. All right, so an outline. I'm not going to touch on the history because Jane's pretty much done that. Or we're going to look a little bit more at some of our goals. We are going to look at, we're going to do a little bit of redundancy to look at the national goals, but we're going to take that down, not looking at every single census region, because that would take way more time than we have. So I'm going to use a couple of regions and one state to try and give you a sense of that healthy people, and in particular rural healthy people, has distinct relevance to the state. This is just not a national kind of exercise that has no implications for you when you go home. And then we're going to end with previews of coming attractions, because that's my favorite part at the movies. Okay, we talked about it being a companion. Already know that. You've seen the two volumes. How many of you actually have hard copy of the two volumes? Oh, there are a few hands. That's really exciting. This is the web picture that's going to be updated on the School of Rural Public Health website for models for practice. This is going to be updated, and we're going to talk about that a little later on. So question number one, audience participation. Has your agency or organization produced any documents or reports that identified or utilized rural healthy people objectives? Can I see a show of hands? Three. Okay, that's not good. This isn't much better. About 18.4% responded that yes, they'd use some of the documents. So this is looking back at Rural Healthy People 2010. Let's talk for 2020. Has your organization or agency participated in any meetings at which Healthy People 2020 objectives were discussed for rural areas? Show of hands. One, two, three. Oh. No, I do not include this meeting. No cheating. Okay, well, nationally did better than this room. About 29% said they had talked about rural and healthy people 2020. And then, so why is this important? Why are we committed to doing this for another decade? And it's because it's important for healthy rural communities. It's hoping to identify the top priorities we talked about, as well as which objectives could we try and work toward at our state level, but then as a nation to try and make an impact. Developing a clearinghouse for evidence-based best practices or promising practices, things that you've done that you've tried to address a problem. And then creating and disseminating rural health program support tools, things that can go out to the communities so that those of us, most of us, who don't have foundation grants, who don't have federal grants, who don't have state grants, can try and do something with these programs back in their communities today. And if they don't have the pro bono efforts of our wonderful academic institutions to help them along, that they have some of the metrics and the tools to make this happen themselves. So Jane's already told you about what we did as far as the survey, and she's already shown you this first set of those top 10 priorities for the nation. So obviously 2010, 2010, 2020, access to healthcare, huge. That doesn't change. But just reading them quickly, diabetes, nutrition and weight status, mental health, substance abuse, heart disease, physical activity, older adults, maternal child health, tobacco. So let's go to a census region. Now I'm picking on, and my colleague here near the front knows this, I'm picking on the Northeast. We got 87 responses from the Northeast for about 7.2 of that 1,214 votes. So how did that region vote? Access to health care, diabetes, mental health, nutrition. Don't worry so much about which order they're in, but the top 10 are pretty much all there again. 1,200 votes nationally, 87 votes in a census region. Let's go more granular. Let's look at the DHHS region, region 2. We got 2% of that 1,214, or 19 votes. Access to health care, diabetes, mental health, heart disease. Do I have a theme going here? All right. Now, the reason I've chosen this particular set of regions was the great state of New York, excluding Manhattan and Brooklyn and all of those folks way in the south, invited me to come up and talk about rural healthy people. And so I used the opportunity to give them a homework assignment. There were like 70, 80 people in the audience, and I got like 68, 70 responses to people asking the same question that this data is sharing. So from the great state of New York. Well, oh, wait a minute. One more before that. Next slide. So this is the quick, to kind of collapse those three things that we just went over so you can see it. All that yellow, well, somebody told me highlights is just god-awful, you shouldn't do that, but I'd already done it. All the yellow means these are all that show up everywhere. Where you saw differences as cancer showed up in DHHS Region 2 and in the census region, maternal infant child health, DHHS region and nationally, and then tobacco, census region. And so minor, minor differences. Now on to New York. What's red are the same issues. Access, mental health, diabetes, heart disease, substance abuse, older adults, nutrition activity. Okay, maternal and infant, okay, they agreed with one of the other regions. And health-related quality of life, that's a new item for this decade. So that didn't fit anywhere. But what I'm trying to get the point across is that when we talk about rural healthy people, this information has relevance within your states, within those rural counties. Now, again, we're aggregating them together. So are there going to be, you know, a little bit of wiggle room? But as a state, if you want to try and make a dent in something that could impact on rural residents in your state, you can pick almost any of these red areas, and it should be a good fit. And part of our goal in trying to set priorities, and I'm going to take you to the next level of priority, is to try and focus our attention so that we can go to federal data sources and say, hi, we need baseline information. Or, hi, these are areas we would like to see you fund. To give you the broader perspective, how many of you are really familiar with Healthy People 2020? Okay. So we went from 28 health topics to 42 in 2020. We went from about 400 objectives in 2010 to about 1,000 or 1,200 in 2020. We cannot make a difference in 1,200 objectives. So if we want to be able to demonstrate to our elected officials in our counties, at our state level, in our regions, and nationally, that we can make a difference in the health of rural. If they will provide us some supports, then maybe we can make a better, stronger, more viable case. So, coming attractions. This is the Ask the Experts piece, and Jane has already alluded to this. One of the next steps that we are going into is to do a Delphi survey to identify the objectives that we care about. Now, we were going to try and do, you know, look at our 10 priorities and the objectives within those, but that was a whole lot of work and a whole lot of issues. So what we did is we took a shorter version. We went to Healthy People's Leading Health Indicators. That's 12 of those topics. And let me show you. Those are the 12 leading health indicator topics. Those in red were our priorities anyhow. And I think all of us who have any knowledge or involvement in rural recognize all the others as important, even if they didn't hit the cut for our top 10. Clinical preventive, we care about these. Environmental quality, we hugely care about these because when we're doing fracking or other things, we don't do that in the city. We come to the country to do that kind of stuff. Injury and violence, we know this about car accidents, about farm accidents, about all the things that happen in rural areas. So I won't belabor that, but there are 26 objectives in that. In December, we're going to be doing a Delphi survey, and we're going to be trying to recruit about 60 volunteers, and that brings me to why all of you had this in your seat and why my colleague Dr. Cooksley has volunteered to get this out to the Council on Affiliates. On November the 13th, we're going to be doing a webinar because we need to recruit those 60 volunteers. We want them to come from across the country. We're going to look at 4 expert panels, so 15 people each, a group of providers of all kinds. I don't mean just doctors. Providers. We're going to look at policy kinds of people, like the NOSOR folks, like the State Offices of Rural Health. If you're not rural, I apologize for using acronyms. The primary care associations, the state associations, the state public health associations, those people have a sense of the knowledge. We're going to look at a group of academics and students in public health, and we're going to be looking at a group of community. The community in this case is we'd like to have community members that have some sense of health. So they may be from faith communities that have a health mission. They may be members of community boards for federally qualified health centers or the hospital or a school board that's interested in school health. But people who more closely represent, they don't work in health. Health may be a big thing for them, but they don't work in health or for health. So that's one of the things we need from you, to try and help us recruit some of those people so we can fill those buckets and see if we can come up with a key set of objectives and see how much agreement there is in those objectives across the 4 buckets. We need you for those models of practice that Jane was alluding to. We need to populate that map of the United States, particularly around our priority areas. Communities in your states are doing work, whether they have resources externally available or not. They're trying to address the problems in their communities with whatever resources they have available. We need to hear about them, and we need to find out who the contact people are so that nationally you can begin creating your own mentoring efforts. So I can call you when I've got a question about a project you did in diabetes that I want to try and see if we could use that in Florida so that we're not all recreating the wheels, so that we can grow from one another. And then finally, we're going to try and put together some toolkits associated with some of those models for practice of what kinds of metrics, of how you might evaluate. Because bottom line for accountability, and our world has become more and more and more about accountability, we need to be able to demonstrate to our county commissioners or to our state legislators or to the foundation folks that what we did made a difference. And we can do that better if nationally, within our communities, we've identified a set of metrics that we all want to use in general for health and metrics about particular programs that we want to do. So you've seen that. I'm going to close the ask. We need your help. We want to educate you about rural healthy people, yes. But rural healthy people is about your efforts and about what you can do with us to help us determine what should be our focus for the decade, to identify the models for practice, and to help us advocate for the resources, human, financial, and data, the baseline data, that we need to plan, to implement, and to measure. And we will hold on questions, and I want to thank you all very much.